Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Romans chapter 8, verse number 35, right down to 39 is our scripture for the morning. But remember, today we are concluding the prophetic theme, What Manner of Love Is This? Amen. And I'm taking some aspect of it and speak on God's covenant prescription for never failing life. God's covenant prescription for never failing life. A life that can never be failed. A life that can never be failed. So even though we're talking under the broad theme, what manner of love is this? As we conclude, I want to touch on God's covenant prescription for never failing life. How many of you desire to win all the time? Praise God. Then I believe this message is for you. Amen. All right. Romans chapter number 8, verse 35, right down to 39. Can we read in concert? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, praise God, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We bless you for such a gathering. Your word has made it perfectly clear that unto you shall the gathering of the saints be. We have gathered here to hear your voice, to hear you speak to us, Lord. Spirit of the living God, I commit myself unto you. I commit my mind, my voice. Use me to be a blessing this morning. Let not your people hear the voice of a man, but let them hear your voice. Speak your word to the satisfaction of our soul so that we will leave this place blessed. Holy Spirit, this is your moment. This is your time. Move in your soul liberty. Come bless us like never before. And let your will and your purposes be established. We thank you for what you are about to do, even right now, in Jesus' the blessed name. Let everybody shout a big amen. Please be seated in the presence of our Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, your amen is with. I said your amen is with. We thank God for yet another glorious Sunday. As you all know, Sundays are best days. And it's the day that the Lord himself has ordained for his people to gather before him. Not just to meet as a people or as a family, but also to be able to receive yet another nourishment, another form of grace that will enable them to be able to go through the week. You know, coming to church on Sunday is not a tradition or ritual, but it is to refill your tank so that you can make it to the end of another week. And I pray that one of the ways that God refills us, strengthens our inner man, makes us buoyant, and strong to the challenges of this life is through His word. It's through His word. Anytime the word of God comes to us, it comes to strengthen us. It comes to empower us. It comes to give us hope for the future. And I pray that this morning, as the word of God comes, it will give you the strength to live for tomorrow. And even throughout the week, you'll be strengthened and you'll be agile. You'll be as strong as Fidel to meet and overcome the challenges of this week. I said you'll be able to overcome the challenges of this week. In the name of Jesus. We are so grateful once again that throughout this month, God has revealed His mind, His purposes, and His will to us. In 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1, we understand that the mindset of God and the purpose of God. He said that, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? Love of God is divine. Love of God is excelling. Love of God is inseparable. It cannot be measured. It is too deep and so wide. It is so high that nothing can overcome it. The love of God is so great and it is so wonderful. We see the love of God expressed in so many areas of our lives. Sometimes people wonder, if God loves me, why am I going through this? If God loves me, why is this happening? If God really loves the world, why are we going through such difficulties and such troubles and all this kind of pain? The love of God is demonstrated through His power. His power. And His power means His presence. Because wherever His power is, His presence is available. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 31, verse number 6, we saw how the presence of God was demonstrated, and that became His love at work. Deuteronomy 31:6 says that, be strong and of good courage, fear not nor be afraid of them, for thy Lord thy God, He it is that do go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That is the love of God at work. When you are not failing in life, it means God's love is at work. His presence, His power at work in your life is a demonstration of His love. Is somebody here with me? That moment where you had to pass that exam is the love of God that was at work in your life. That moment that you had to pass that interview is the love of God that was at work in your life. It was spoken to the people. It said that, for the Lord thy God, it is He that do go with thee. Your going out, your coming in has been by the presence of God. And it is the demonstration of God's love. Is somebody here with me? We also see the love of God being demonstrated through His faithfulness. Tell somebody, through His faithfulness. In Psalm number 89, verse number 33, here we admonished that Psalm number 89, verse number 33, he said, but nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Wow. God said that He will not suffer His faithfulness to fail. In fact, one of the ways by which we know that God is God and God is not a man is His faithfulness. Hallelujah. He is full of faith. When He says it, it is done. He said that, who can speak and have it to pass? Who can command and it is done? It is God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. So we see the love of God demonstrated through his faithfulness. The Bible says that the faithfulness of the Lord, not that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning, and his faithfulness never ceases. Every day you wake up in the morning, every day you see almost everything that you have to see. It is the faithfulness of the Lord that keeps things running, that keeps things moving, and that shows the love of God he has for you. Tell somebody, God loves you. Is somebody following me? We also see his love demonstrated through his mercies. Lamentations chapter number 3, verse number 22. Lamentations chapter number 3, verse number 22. Yes, and that is what it says, that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail it not. Hallelujah. It is of the Lord's mercies. Hallelujah. Mercies are things that the Lord benevolently release unto us in order to help us from our inabilities, our limitations, and our weaknesses. Mercies are what takes care of the things we cannot have control over. Mercies is God releasing himself, and it is an indication of his love for us. Somebody is blessed this morning. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 4 to 5. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 4 to 5. Here we understand that, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Praise Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So through the love of God, we see the mercies of God. Or the other way around, through his mercies, we also see God's love towards us. Verse number five. You see that even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace we are saved. Somebody is blessed. So we see the love of God demonstrated in various ways, arid ways. And therefore, the love of God is so deep and is so wide. In fact, the Father's heart is boiling with love for you and for me. And I love the scripture that has been our team scripture. He said that, behold, the manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us. Behold means to look. He said that, look at Jesus. Jesus is the measure of the love that I have for you. Jesus is the measure of the love that I have for you. Jesus is the measure. How much I love Jesus is the same measure I love you. If I love Jesus, then I love you. If I love Jesus, then I love you. If I love Jesus, then I love you. Is somebody following with me? Jesus is the measure of the love I have for you. Behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? Amen and amen. We must understand that love is not just a rhetoric. Love is not just something you say, but love is a demonstration. We demonstrate love. Love is demonstrated. Tell somebody, love is demonstrated. Therefore, God demonstrated his love by giving us love, and the love he gave us is his son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is the fact that Jesus came in the New Testament not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. You know, the law was a standard of God, and at the point, nobody could meet that standard. Nobody could meet it. The law says that thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do this, and nobody could ever meet it, because as a matter of fact, when you break one of the law, you have broken all. And therefore, nobody could meet the standard of God, the measure of God, the righteousness of God, which is the law. At the end of the day, Jesus came to fulfill by obedience. Say, by obedience. In that case, the Old Testament was seeking for obedience. The Old Testament order was to obey the law. To tell somebody, obey the law. But when Jesus came in his teachings, he made us not only to obey. In fact, as a matter of fact, to be able to obey, you must believe. So Jesus didn't point us to obey the law, because in obeying the law, you will break it. There is no way that you can fulfill the law by obedience. Is somebody here with me? But you can only fulfill the righteousness of God by believing. By believing. So in Jesus' teaching, he always admonished us to believe. To believe. If anyone loves me, he believes. He will obey. So by believing, you come to obey. By believing, you come to do what? Obey the things that God. So love is a demonstration of believing. When Jesus came down as the expression of God's love, it is a matter of believing in that which God is giving to us. And that is the essence of Christianity. Christianity is not trying to make it or trying to become or trying to obey, but it is believing. Lord, I believe. That is faith. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe in that which you have for me. So the love received is the love expressed. The love received is the love expressed. When you believe by receiving, you also express by obedience. Come on, somebody catching me. When you receive God's love by believing, you are able to express by obedience. If you have not received God's love, you cannot express it. So the people that God seems to create on earth, a new species, were supposed to be people who would believe by receiving. As you receive, you come to the place of believing in all that Jesus has done for you and I. And as you believe, you come to express it. And therefore, love also becomes a responsibility. Write it down. Love becomes a responsibility. Whoever has received love must express it. Love is a responsibility. Love is not just a rhetoric. If you say you love somebody, show it. If you say you love somebody, express it. Don't just say with your mouth. Love is not words. In fact, it's not word salad. You can't just combine things. I love you, but nothing to show. Love is a responsibility. In John chapter number 15, verse number 9, Jesus in his own teaching made us to understand that love is a responsibility. John chapter number 15, verse number 9. Can I have it? He said that as the Father has loved me, so I love you. And continue ye in my love. Wow. As the Father has loved me, so I have also what? Loved you. And therefore we should what? Continue in my love. So love is supposed to be a responsibility, and we must continue in the love in which God has called us in. Somebody is blessed. Hallelujah. Is somebody following me? Now, in continuing in the love that the Father has bestowed upon us, makes us come to a point whereby we are able to withstand the difficulties, the challenges, the perplexities, and the vicissitudes of life. There's one way that a man can only be able to stand, because in this life is arrayed with all kinds of battles, is arrayed with all kinds of challenges, is arrayed with all kinds of attacks and all kinds of battles and war. But we thank God so much that in the midst of the battles, all our battles are overcomable. In fact, all our battles are conquerable, all our challenges are overcomable, and all our wars are winnable. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody did not hear me. Can I repeat that? In the midst of the challenges and the difficulties that you are going through, I came to let you know that your challenges are overcomable. Your battles are overwinnables or conquerables, and then your wars are winnables. Is somebody here with me? Because wars are part of Christianity. Battles are part of Christianity. The challenges you go through are part of Christianity. You are not made totally exempted or immune from difficulties. As a matter of fact, in fact, Jesus said that they would even hate you because of me. Because you love me, the world will hate you. The world will hate you. So we find ourselves in difficulties where we face battles all day. Hallelujah. We face trials all day. In the book of Luke, the gospel according to St. Luke 16:16, it says that the law and the prophets were unto John, and since that time the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man pressed himself towards it. We are in the days where men must press themselves, because there are challenges everywhere that you need to press. Is somebody here with me? The book of Matthew chapter number 12 verse number 11 makes it clear that from the days of John the Baptist to now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Is somebody here with me? So if there are no violence, how can you also suffer violence? You must be able to violently take whatever belongs to you. Is somebody here with me? We understand from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse number 8 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 verse number 8 and verse number 9. He said that we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Come on, move on. He says that we are persecuted but not forsaken. We are cast down but not destroyed. Hallelujah. So there are confrontations, there are battles, there are challenges, there are wars that we are going through. Hallelujah. But I came to tell you that in the midst of the battle, I see you overcoming right now. In the midst of the challenges, I see you winning right now. In the midst of the battle, I see you triumphing right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you stay ever triumph in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the battles, and in the midst of the war? How do you stay triumph? And that is where today I want to share with you with God's covenant prescription for never failing life. There's a covenant way whereby a man can never fail in no matter situation you find yourself. And that is one of the reasons why Jesus came. That is the purpose that we are looking at this morning. Is somebody here with me? Now, how do we stay ever triumph in all matters and in all challenges? We read from Romans chapter 8 verse number 35. We read from Romans chapter 8 verse 35. The Bible says that, for who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Is somebody following me? No, we must allow. So you realize that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, the God's covenant prescription for never failing life is the love of God. The love of God in your life becomes the energies of God that keeps you moving and keeps you running. As a matter of fact, the love of God is what gives you momentum to be able to ride over the challenges and then the difficulties of life. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Then he started naming all the things that you can name. He talked about tribulations. He talked about distress. He talked about persecution. He talked about famine. He talked about nakedness, peril, and sword. He said that none of these can separate me from what? The love of God. So the love received becomes the love expressed. And the love expressed is what gives you the tenacity, is what gives you the grace, the ability to be able to ride over. You know, we don't just fight battles, but we ride over battles. Is somebody here with me? We don't face challenges, but we ride over challenges as a child of God. Is somebody believe in me? God will not take them away, but as they come, we will ride over them. Is somebody here with me? Sicknesses, you cannot say that I'm a child of God and therefore I cannot be sick. Definitely sickness will come your way, but you are going to ride over that sickness. The sickness that will kill somebody will not be the sickness that will kill you. Why? Because there is a covenant prescription for a never failing life. There is a way that God keeps his people from failing. So no matter the challenge that comes your way, you are more than a conqueror. Is somebody here with me? Tell somebody, I am a more than a conqueror. So love is a God's covenant prescription for never failing life. Praise Jesus Christ. We saw from verse number 36 right now, he says that, what again? Go to 36 for me. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. You can imagine, every day you wake up in the morning, there's an attempt to kill you. There's something to destroy you. There's something to bring you down. There's something to make you shameful. There's something for you to fail. He said that we are killed all day long. Praise Jesus Christ. He said that we are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Our life has been subjected to somebody without control of himself or herself. Anything happens to us, any arrow that is flying anywhere can hit us. Our life has been left without any protection. We are a sheep counted as a slaughter. We have been led to the slaughterhouse. But look at verse number 37. He says that, nay, that is where somebody must come in. Tell another person, nay. Oh, tap the person on their shoulder and let them know that name. Can I speak to somebody here? There is a covenant way that God keeps his people. There's a covenant way that God makes us move on more than conquerors. He said that name. So irrespective of what comes your way, irrespective of what is trying to kill you, irrespective of what trying to bring you down, tell somebody name. Come on, shake your head and say nay. I don't care the sickness that come my way, nay. I don't care the disappointment that I face, nay. I don't care whoever talked about me, say nay. Whoever wanted to kill me, nay. Wow. In all these things, in all these troubles, we are more than conquerors. Through who? I said through who? I said through who? Somebody's not alive. Through who? God that loved us. So the love received is the love expressed. Jesus said that as the Father has loved me, so I also love you. And you must also continue in my love. So your continuity in the love which the Father has given is what makes you triumphant. It's what makes... So God's covenant prescription for never failing life. If you don't want to fail in this life, then continue in the love of God. Amen. Is somebody receiving me? Now, we must understand that there are ways that the love of God is expressed. There are things which must be done to actually express the love of God in our life, the never failing life. That comes from God. Hallelujah. God's love at work in you must be on three platforms. The love of God in your life must be demonstrated on three platforms. And I wish I can share just two with you before my time elapses. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Tell somebody amen. Amen. So God's love at work in you must be on three
platforms. That is, how do I know that I have the love of God, or God's love is continuing in me? How do I know that the love of God is being demonstrated? I'm a child of God, all right? Pastor said that I should believe that which God has done in order for me to obey. The Old Testament was strictly by obedience. If you don't obey, you have failed. But Jesus came to fulfill the law by obedience and said that believe in me and you would also be able to obey. Is somebody here with me? Now we have come to the point, how do I know that the love of God is in me? And before I touch on that, I want you to tell somebody, love is not a talking thing. That is weak. Tell another person. But it is a showing thing. If you love me this morning, tell them, if you love me this morning, then show it. Do you know that Jesus, in his teachings, didn't point to us to love God? I'm going to show you a mystery. Is somebody here with me? Jesus, in his teaching, never pointed to us to love God. But he rather pointed to us to love one another. This is very, very, basic, and I just want to prove that to you. In the book of John, chapter number 13, I want to be sure of my scripture. I wrote it somewhere this morning as I was going through my feed. Oh my God, Holy Spirit, help me. Now, you must understand this, that Jesus never pointed to the fact that we should love God. Because the Old Testament, the first of the Old Testament, tells us that we should love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. Is somebody here with me? But Jesus, in concluding his teaching on the law, says that we should, in order to fulfill the law, we should rather love one another. Is somebody here with me? I'm going to prove that to you very soon as I go through my study. I'm going to prove that to you very soon. Amen and amen and amen. Yes, I just want the particular verse as I pointed it out somewhere, and I'll find out very soon to you. Somebody's blessed. Tell somebody you are blessed. John 13:34. Everybody go. A new commandment. I say that a new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love. Wow. Tell somebody, wow. So the whole of the law, right from the first to the last, Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment. Tell somebody, have you seen the new commandment? Wow. So Jesus never pointed to us to love God. It is so shocking and amazing. How is Jesus telling us this? But you see, the love received becomes the love expressed. You can't love your neighbor as you're supposed to love if you haven't received the love of God. If the love of God is not at work in your life, it will be difficult to love your neighbor. So in loving your neighbor, it also means that you love God. Because before you can love that nagging neighbor of yours, that troublesome person you are sitting in church with, let me push this. Do you know that love, if you love people that love you, it is not love. The expression of love is not necessarily, because I know Akos is my blood sister, and for that matter, definitely she will love me. If I do something for her, that is not love. But love is seen at where love cannot be found. You express love to people who don't deserve it. Is somebody here with me? People who don't actually deserve your love, because when you give them something, they will not even come back and say thank you. But here we are. Sister Nkrumah, man, dear Krama, namaste. Amen. That is not love. Tell somebody, love your neighbor. So how is the love of God expressed? How do I know that I'm continuing in the love of God. So I'm sharing one with you in this service, and then if possible we continue, if possible two. Yeah, I think I have some few minutes. All right, now go with me to John chapter number 2, verse number 17. John chapter number 2, verse number 17. John chapter 2, verse number 17. Now read. He says that, and his disciples remembered that it was what? Written that the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. Wow. Somebody's blessed. We have a prelude to this scripture where Jesus entered into the temple. As a matter of fact, he entered the temple and realized that things were not right. It's not that the people had actually perverted or is doing something strange out of the ordinary, but it is the manner in which they were doing it. Because from the days of Moses, when Moses instituted the law and then also the atonement, coming to the temple to come and plead and also pacify your sins before God, the people started selling at the place. So it is not a new thing for them to be selling at the house. Is somebody here with me? But this is how they were doing it. In case you bring your sheep, you bring your goat, or you bring your turtle dove, or whatever you are coming to use as an offering, they will tell you that is not good. I mean, we see that in Ghana here. You get my point? That is not good. No. As for this one, the eye is spoiled. They will find fault with whatever you brought. And they will ask you to buy from them. And they will go back, and the one you brought, they will keep it and sell it to another person. So you can imagine the kind of, corruption that was at work. So it wasn't that they were doing something different from the norm, but the manner in which they were doing it, their focus has shifted and their love has been taken away. Is somebody here with me? So Jesus entered the temple and said, "What is this? What is happening?" So he took a cane. Eh? You can imagine Jesus at that time, 30 years old, got a cane and started beating people who were 85, 70, 90 years. Because that is the job they've been doing. So somebody has sat in the temple for many years, and all that he was doing is to just trying to kind of take advantage of the system and then do corruption. Is somebody here? What are you doing here? Leave! Stop that, what you're doing. Jesus started beating them, throwing their things away. And they were all running away. And the disciples were standing there. What has come over this guy? And the Bible says, and they remembered that it is written that the zeal of the Lord has consumed him. The zeal of his house has consumed him. The first way by which the love of God is demonstrated in your life, for you to know that God's love is at work in you, is the zeal you have. Tell somebody, the zeal I have. The zeal for his house. The zeal for his house. The zeal for his house. Your zeal for God is the measure of your love. And what is zeal? What is zeal? Zeal is the inner force that propels you to do something for God. Zeal is the inner force that propels you to do something for God. When you are filled with the zeal of God, there is something in you that always pushes you. Wake up early. Rise up early. Get to the church on time. Make sure this is done. Go push that person to church. Make sure, you see, whoever is continuing in the love of God, you are full of zeal. You are full of zeal. You are never encouraged to do anything for God. You are never forced to do anything for God. But there is an inner force. Is somebody here? That propels you. Now, Jesus entered the temple and saw things were not going right. And the Bible said that the zeal of his house consumed him. When you come to church and things are not right, how do you feel? And there are empty seats. How do you feel? As we are aspiring for excellence, everything we do here, our focus is to be excellent. And things are not being done in an excellent way. How do you feel? The zeal of his house. One way you know that the love of God is at work in you. In order for you to become an overcomer and a conqueror in all matters and challenges of life, is when the zeal of his house has what? Consumed you. Tell somebody the zeal of his house. Tell somebody the zeal of his house. Another person, the zeal of his house. So it is the inner force that propels you for an outward accomplishment. Add that one. The inner force that propels you for an outward accomplishment. Zeal. Zeal. Something within that pushes you. I must do this. This must be done. I can't see this going bad. In the house of God. In the house of God. When something is going bad, how do you feel? Do you look unconcerned? You think, oh, my car, my breath. Jesus knew that the people were not doing anything so strange. But the fact that what they were doing was not right, he had to take action. When somebody is not doing what is right in the house of God, you look the person, you caught him, watching him and making sure that you don't talk about it, and the bad is continuing. The person is in church messing up, saying all kinds of things, trying to confuse people and all that, and you watch the person, you are not continuing in the love of God. Is somebody here with me? Your amen is weak. So that is the number one way by which we see the love of God at work, and that makes you a candidate. Tell somebody, a candidate. Hallelujah. Now, your zeal must be rooted in the knowledge of God. There are people with zeal but lack knowledge. Heart to heart people, if there are, there is a word like that. They have zeal but they lack knowledge. So in their zeal, sometimes they step on toes and they rather destroy things. But your zeal must be rooted in what? In the knowledge of God. Somebody is blessed. Romans chapter 10 verse number 2 will answer that. When you go home, also read Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31. Somebody is blessed. Hallelujah. Now he said that, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? Knowledge. Wow. Paul, in his writing to the whole church in Rome, and this is what he talked about them, that though they have zeal, but it is not according to what? Knowledge. Wow. Your zeal must be based on the knowledge of God. Knowing him and then making him known. Is somebody here with me? Demonstrate, you see, that the whole idea about Jesus' case was that they remembered that it was written that the zeal of his house has consumed you. I pray for you today that may the zeal of God consume you right now. May you have that inner force that is propelling you for an outward accomplishment. Greater things. You see, once you carry the love of God in your heart, it makes you an accomplisher. Listen, I told you, love is the energies of God. Love is what drives you. Life is what drives you for anything. You see, whatever your heart is, you are driven towards it. Is somebody here with me? Love is a driving force. It is the energies of God. With God is not just love, but his love is what drives him. what gives him that zeal to accomplish what he has to accomplish. It is the zeal that God had through his love that had to send Jesus Christ to this world. That is why they sang a song that says it was a reckless what? Love. Reckless love. The zeal of his house. How can somebody love and hate himself? But that is the kind of love Jesus did. If I love you, does that mean I should be beaten? Does that mean I should be killed? Does that mean I should be spitted upon or be treated anyway, anyhow? No. Reckless love. By all means, something must be done in order for my purpose to be accomplished. By all means, there was a zeal inside him and something, an inner force that pushed him. You can do it. We can make it. Let's make it happen. Let's push the church forward. Let's get the people. Let's get there on time. Let's all come together. Let's everybody see. There must be a zeal in this house. Everybody's heart must be boiling with the love of God. How? It will show in your zeal. In your zeal. In your zeal. Sometimes the way some of you walk to church is even appalling. Nothing like zeal. As if he's going to cemetery. Even this day, when people are going to cemetery, they walk faster. Because they want to get rid of that thing and then come home. But you are going to church and no zeal. You walk like you nobody's business. You are late. Nothing cares. You don't aspire for excellence. You do anything jambudu and jambija. When you come and stand on stage, that is where you remove your shoe. Hey, where is your zeal? The whole world is watching you and you have removed your shoes on stage. May God have mercy on us. That is where you want the whole world to know that you are feeling hot. How many minutes are you standing there? You are standing on stage. Camera is on you. You are on YouTube. You are on Facebook. And you are holding a mic. Mercy. Is that excellence? Somebody even on to the extent that on stage they take off their jacket. Oh, am I speaking the truth? You've been looking at them. The zeal of his house. The zeal of his house. The zeal of his house. If you do that, you are not filled with the love of God. Because the love of God always propels you for an accomplishment. That something must be done. Something must be changed. I must not remain the same. It always moves you forward. It always changes your life. Because there's love, you push forward. You see, the love of God must drive you. It must always drive you. Do everything according to the love of God that you have. You see, whenever you miss the love of God, you miss the most integral part of your life. You will be relegated to zero if you lack God's love at work in your life. Is somebody here with me? Let me quickly add one and then I'm done. I promise you I'm done. Tell somebody I'm done. Somebody's blessed. John chapter 12, verse number 22. To 25. John chapter 12, verse 22 to 25. Again, how is the love of God demonstrated? He said that now everybody go. Philip came and tell it Andrews. And again, Andrews and Philip tell Jesus. Wow. Is this scripture? Now move on. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Somebody's blessed. Continue. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. Verse number 25, the last verse. He that loveth his life, and he that hated his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Is it clear? Is it clear? Now, how do I know that the love of God is demonstrated in me, or I'm continuing in the love of God? Number two, your dedication to the Lord. Your dedication. Tell somebody your dedication. Come on, speak it louder. He said, except a corn falls down and dies, it remains or abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. He that loveth his life will lose it. When you think about yourself and yourself alone, when you're always seeking for your own comfort and your good, when you don't think about others and the things of God, the Bible says you will lose your life because you're living for yourself. But if for my sake you think that you lose your life or you hurt your life, you will keep it. You would have it. What an irony. Something that as they keep it, that is when they will be protected and live forever. But Jesus said that that is the opposite. When you are trying to avoid danger, that is when danger will hit you. Is somebody here with me? But for my sake, if you let go of yourself and start pursuing the things of God, loving God, then you will be preserved. Is somebody here with me? Now, keep it. Don't worry. Let it be there. Don't let it be there. Don't worry. So how? Number one, you must be planted as a seed in God. How do you get yourself dedicated? You must be planted as seed in God. Your life is a seed. Your life is a seed. You must be planted as a seed in God. And as you are planted as a seed in God, it means you will die and bear fruit. Jesus, as the love of God, was planted as a seed, and it bear fruit, and you are the fruit of Jesus. Hallelujah. I said you are the fruit of all Jesus. So as you also get planted in the house of God as a seed, you are also begin to bear fruit. Is somebody here with me? Number two, how do I dedicate myself to the Lord? By daily committed to God. Not Sundays, not weekly, not monthly, but a daily commitment to God. Tell somebody a daily commitment. Oh, come on. Come on, tell another person a daily commitment. How do you do that? When God's house becomes a delight, or your delight, and He makes you a delightsome person. When you make God's house your delight, He makes you a delightsome person. When you make God's house your delight, you see, coming to church is not for my good, but God makes you a delightsome person. When you delight in His word, and you delight in the things of God, He makes you a delightsome person. Hallelujah. I pray that you will become delightsome. I said, I pray that you will be delightsome throughout this week. Hallelujah. This is what makes great men. This is what makes great businessmen for God. This is what made great students, great scientists, great people in this world. When you take delight in God, He also makes you a delightsome person. When you are dedicated, you become a seed planted. And that seed planted bears much fruit. Hallelujah. Do you want to live an overcoming life? Do you want to have your battles, all your battles won? Do you want to have conquerings. Do you want to overcome your challenges? There is one covenant prescription. That is the love of God. Am I speaking to somebody there?
most of our prayers, as James said, are missed because we have left the first things and we are seeking for the others. The commandment, the first in the commandments, was the love of God. Is somebody here with me? Yes. It is the first priority. But many of you, our quest to love God is diminished. We are seeking for our own good, seeking for our own well-being, and for that matter, the thing has turned. When challenges come, we fail. We are just there wobbling our legs and we don't know how to overcome it. When we are faced with battles, as I told you, they will always come. When you win one battle, another battle will come. When you fight another war will come. But what makes you all-time conqueror, all-time triumphant, all-time overcomer is when you are continuing in the love of God. Paul said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I pray for you that whatever is pursuing you, whatever challenge you are going through, may the love of God makes you an overcomer. Amen. Makes you a conqueror. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, somebody's blessed. Come on, be on your feet this morning.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.